It is always great being in the jungle. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And I got to tell you, I'm very happy that I'm in Sacramento today. And not down in SoCal, where Romy does the show, because I was looking at pictures and video of the traffic last night in Los Angeles and Southern California from the air. Did you see that? I mean, you want to talk about traffic that went on forever and ever and ever. So I'm happy that I'm in Sacramento. We don't have all that traffic, and it's great being in here. We got so much to talk about today. First hour, I'm going to talk some NBA basketball with Sam Amick from USA Today. We got a lot going on in the association. Then we'll talk NFL football with Steve Weiss from the NFL Network in hour number two. And for you hockey fans, I got to tell you, is there a better story in the National Hockey League right now than the Vegas Golden Knights, an expansion team? I mean, they have one of the best records in the National Hockey League, and they've already used five goalies. I mean, think about that. Their first two goalies got hurt early in the season. Then they had to bring up two goalies from who had no business being in the National Hockey League. They kept on winning. They used a fifth goalie. So we're going to talk with the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee, in hour number three. And then we're going to close the show today with the 40-year-old Vince Carter. Vince has got an amazing perspective on the NBA, young players coming into the league. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing two of those young players tonight, as I am the longtime TV announcer for the Sacramento Kings. And tonight, the Kings host the L.A. Lakers. And so that means you have Lonzo Ball coming in. And I've been doing the NBA for 30 years. So I've seen a lot of players come and go. But the trend in the NBA over the last 10 years, you know, the one and dones. And you see young guards, particularly, I'm talking about guards, that come into the league and they can't shoot. It mystifies me how players that have played basketball their entire lives, and I'm talking about they start dribbling a ball when they're two and three, and they've played here and they've played there and they've played in AAU and they've got, you know, they go to college for 1 year and maybe they go to Kentucky, or you're coming out of Duke, or, you know, you have the best college coaches in the country, right? And then you get into the NBA and they can't shoot. There's a difference between struggling with your shot because you just are young and you're in a new league, and then Alonzo Ball, whose shot is very mechanically flawed, and we knew it was flawed coming out of UCLA. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers at you, and I'm going to try to tell you why I think certain teams aren't ever going to win in the NBA, and why there are teams that generally do win and why they do win in this day and age. All right, take a look at Lonzo Ball, for example, all right? Now, first of all, the one thing you got to give him credit for, he's the starting point guard on a very young, rebuilding Lakers team that's 8-10. And for the most part, they compete every night. They're in every game, for the most part. So let's start right there. He's a point guard that starts for a young team in a tough Western Conference, and they're 8-10. But here's a guy that shoots 30% from the floor. He shoots 23% from beyond the arc. But here's the glaring stat that should make everyone concerned about whether Lonzo Ball is ever going to become a decent shooter. He's 46% from the free throw line. When's the last time you can remember a point guard, a starting point guard in the NBA that shoots 46% from the free throw line? His shot is mechanically flawed. And hey, Dad, you know, popping off, ripping the Laker coaching staff, LeVar Ball, they don't know how to coach my son. Well, you don't know how to coach your son either. Because if you knew how to coach your son, he wouldn't be shooting 46% from the free throw line. And he wouldn't have a flawed shot. So shut up and go away. Now look at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is an aberration, because Ben Simmons doesn't even shoot threes. Ben Simmons doesn't even take threes. Ben Simmons hasn't even made a three-pointer this year because he doesn't take three-pointers. He's only taken seven. Ben Simmons is shooting 52%. Why does he shoot a high percentage? Because he's on top of the basket all the time. But how bad of a shooter is Ben Simmons? The Sixers are playing well, right? They're 9-7. I mean, you know when Joel Embiid's on the court? I mean, the guy is a freak. Ben Simmons from the free throw line, 58%. Will the Philadelphia 76ers, and again, I'm looking into the future now, will they ever be able to win? And by win, I'm talking about going to the conference finals and the NBA finals. If their starting point guard, who has the ball in his hands a lot, shoots 58% from the free throw line. And here's the deal with Ben Simmons. He's a lot like Lonzo Ball. His shot is mechanically flawed. He has a bad shot. You're going to have to break it down. All right, now let's look at some of the other rookies in the NBA this year. Tonight, Sacramento and the L.A. Lakers playing in Sacramento. Now, you know the buildup of the game is going to be De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball, Ball, Fox, Fox, Ball. All right, it's going to be a big deal. But if you talk to De'Aaron Fox, not a big deal to him. I asked him this on Media Day. I said, is this is this manufactured by the media? He said, absolutely, it's completely. They've only played against each other twice. All right, but here's De'Aaron Fox, who is now the starting point guard for the Sacramento Kings. He has started the last three games, all right? He's shooting 40% from the floor. He's struggling from three at 26%. But here's where De'Aaron Fox, you look at him, he's 31 of 43 from the foul line this year. Not great, but not bad. It's 72%. When you look at Lonzo Ball and you look at De'Aaron Fox, if you watch the game tonight, you're going to see Lonzo Ball, whose shot is flawed, mechanically very unsound. And when you watch De'Aaron Fox, you're going to say, wow, he's got a good-looking shot. His angle 17, 18, 19-foot jumpers are very good and right on target. De'Aaron Fox has a much better chance of being a very good NBA shooter than the first two that I said. Now, Ben Simmons is a different type of a player. He gets away with it because you can't stop him. He gets to the basket. He's getting layups and dunks. All right, let's look at one more rookie. Dennis Smith, Dallas Mavericks, 38% floor, 28% three. But again, this is where 65% from the line. How is it that high draft picks come into the NBA and can't shoot a 15-foot free throw? Would someone please explain that to me? I don't get that. I understand how players can struggle when they're guarded by NBA players. How is it that Lonzo Ball shoots 46% from the line? How is it that Ben Simmons shoots 58% from the line? Dennis Smith, 65%. How does that happen? It's mind-boggling to me. Ball and Simmons, yeah, their shot looks weird. But still, there have been a lot of players that shoot the ball. You know, I remember Kenny Smith when he played in Sacramento. He was a heck of a player, went on and won some championships when he was a member of the Rockets. He had the weirdest looking shot in the world, but it worked for him and it went in. Ball and Simmons, their shots look awful. Now, let me just give you a few veterans here. Steph Curry, I'm going to use him as our guy that you want to emulate. 46%, 43%. From three, 88% line. The reason why the Utah Jazz will not win and the reason why the Minnesota Timberwolves could not win when they had Ricky Rubio is he can't shoot. And you are not going to win in the NBA when you have a point guard that cannot shoot. I don't care. Not happening. Ricky Rubio this year, 37% floor, 26% from three. But here's the odd part about Ricky Rubio. He's an excellent free throw shooter at 92%. Ricky Rubio should be able to shoot better than 37% from the field. But it's the same story year after year with him. And the Jazz, they're 7-11. All right, let's look at the Washington Wizards. They're 10-7. They're trying to challenge for the top spot. And last year, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And what happened in Game 7 last year against the Boston Celtics? What happened to the Wizards? John Wall was awful. Why was John Wall awful? Because John Wall can't shoot good enough to get his team over the hump. I don't care about Bradley Beal. That's fine. Otto Porter, fine. Kelly Oubre, fine. Gortat, fine. But your point guard that shoots 34% this year from three, and you want to know how skewed that number is? He's had two games against Sacramento, and in those two games, he has made 9 of 10 three-pointers. But in all the other games that he's played this year, His three-point percentage is around 14%. Now, think about that for a minute. And here's the other deal. John Wall is only, and I say only for a guy that's in his eighth year, a 74% free throw shooter. The way the NBA game is played now, your guards have to be able to shoot. And if you are a Lakers fan, there is hope for a kid because you can hopefully change the mechanics of his shot. But Lonzo Ball is only going to be able to go so far if he is shooting 46% from the line. I don't care how many assists he has. Ricky Rubio is a tremendous playmaker. You are not winning if you are shooting 37% from the floor and 26% from three. Not going to win. Not going to happen. If you're a Washington Wizards fan, you're not going to win with John Wall's poor three-point field goal percentage. Not happening. I don't understand how so many players come into the league and they can't shoot. I don't get it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Sam Amick, USA Today. I want to find out what's going on in L.A. with the Clippers. How much time does Doc Rivers have left? I want to ask him, we'll go around the association, get some of the surprises early in this season, some of the big disappointments. Sam Amick coming up next as we broadcast from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Grant Napier filling in for Romy right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jungle filling in for Rome. Hope you are going to have a fabulous holiday weekend. Don't forget about our huge tweet of the day. Yes, indeed. You can sign up to be an O Rewards member today. You can start earning instantly because O Reward members earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. So, hey, just send a tweet at Jim Rome or at Grant Napier Show, N-A-P-E-A-R. And the huge tweet winner will get a $50 gift card thanks to our sponsor, O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So keep that in mind. Again, you can send a tweet to the show at Jim Rome or at Grant Napier Show, N-A-P-E-A-R. NBA talk for the first couple of segments here. Sam Amick, USA Today in a moment. Hour number two, Steve Weiss from the NFL Network. Three games tomorrow. The first two definitely with playoff implications in that Minnesota-Detroit game should be a dandy tomorrow. And then we'll find out if the Cowboys can stop their skid as they take on the Chargers, the nightcap with the Giants at the Redskins. Hour number three, we're going to talk some hockey with the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee, and what an amazing start to the season they've had. And we'll wrap up hour number three with Vince Carter. Hard to believe he's still going at age 40. You know, I want to get back to the NBA. And here we are, Thanksgiving weekend. And I wonder if the L.A. Clippers, who get Patrick Beverley back tonight after missing five games, and boy, do they ever need him. But I'm wondering, when you look at the Clippers, if they lose to the Atlanta Hawks tonight, and then they're in Sacramento on Saturday before playing the Lakers on Monday. And I'm a huge fan of Doc Rivers, but Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, he can't be pulling his hair out because he doesn't have any. But you know, and I know, that they've got to be thinking about big-time move down in L.A. with the Clippers. And now we'll talk to Sam Amick about that. He covers the NBA for the USA Today. Sam, thanks very much for coming on the Jim Rome Show. How are you today?
Doing good, Grant. Thanks for having me. Happy early holiday to you.
Yeah, you too. I was just talking about the Clippers. Obviously, horrendous start to the season. They do get Patrick Beverley tonight. Is Doc Rivers' job on the line?
So, I mean, we shall see. I think it could be. I broke this down a little bit in a piece that came out today. And what I'm hearing is that, for one, anybody who knows anything about Steve Ballmer, by the way, I loved your line about pulling his hair out because I had the same thought recently.
right.
But, you know, he's not a man who sits on his hands. He is going to do something drastic if this continues. What I can't get a beat on is there are people close to the situation who feel like the odds are probably higher that it would be really looking at the roster and doing something big trade-wise, not necessarily firing Doc. Now, I'm not trying to say that he's not in harm's way, but I think one thing that Steve is taking into pretty serious consideration is that there are only so many coaches in the NBA who can claim to have won a championship, or not even claim, who have won a title, and he's one of those guys. And so Ballmer values that, and I think that's going to be taken into consideration. But if this continues, Steve, you know, from business to basketball, he's always been a guy who is going to shake it up if it's not going well.
Sam Amick, USA Today, here on the Jim Rome Show. Staying in L.A., LeVar Ball at it again. He told the Bleacher Report about the Lakers staff, quote, they're soft. They don't know how to coach my son. I know how to coach him. I tell him to get the victory, stop messing around. How does that fly in the Lakers hierarchy with Magic and the coaching staff?
I don't think very well at all. I guarantee you that internally there's a certain level of Ball family exhaustion, and not towards Lonzo. It's a such an interesting dynamic because I think, you know, in the Lakers and beyond, you have a lot of people who are sympathetic to the fact that Lonzo, by and large, tries to go to work, punch the time card, do his thing, get better, and he's not out there making grandiose statements like his father constantly is. But I think that when they drafted him, I remember going into the draft and talking to executives about how much concern there was around the NBA about LeVar. And by and large, the feeling was that in the NBA, it's a grown man's league, and the parents step aside. And people just thought that this act, if you will, was not going to translate, was not going to continue when Lonzo was in the NBA. Obviously, that's not the case. He's, you know, LeVar's capturing headlines of the biggest kind. He's engaging with the president of the United States. And, you know, all of this stuff now being somewhat critical of Luke Walton and his staff. And he did qualify his comments, but still, he really shouldn't be saying anything about the way that Lonzo's being coached. So I guarantee you they're somewhat tired of it. I just don't know what it means, what they do about it, because, you know, it's not like they're going to give up on this guy anytime soon.
I don't have a desire to talk to LeVar Ball, but if I did, the one question I would ask him is, if you know how to coach your son so well, how come you coached him with such a flawed shot? And I'm not saying that, you know, he's not going to be a very good NBA player, but I was reading some numbers a couple of moments ago. Say what you might want about his field goal percentage and his three-point percentage, and again, his shot is mechanically flawed. But the number that jumps out at me that just is like, oh, 46% from the free throw line. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Right, right. No, it is. I mean, it's puzzling, too, because this is a guy who shot 40% from three-point range in college. And so he has had the ability at different times to shoot, and obviously that's the college three. But the free throw line is always kind of the litmus test, right, in terms of where a guy's shot and whether or not he has that ability. That looks really bad. And there have been plenty of guys with strange shooting strokes. They just typically, you know, find a way to get the ball in the hole. You and I covered one for years and years in Sacramento and Kevin Martin.
Yeah.
But Lonzo is a different story for him. He actually, you know, Aileen Wasson of the Beat, I wrote a really good column on Lonzo yesterday and got him one-on-one, and he talked about how he is willing to change his shooting stroke just in the summer, that they don't have the time to do it right now. That was the first time I'd seen him express any will. But, you know, there's a lot of season left, so that's not going to help those percentages anytime soon.
No, it's not. Sam Amick, USA Today, joining us here on the Jim Rome Show. And then you have the Boston Celtics, you know, opening night, first couple of moments, they lose Gordon Hayward, and you think, uh-oh, and now they're 16-2. I mean, Brad Stevens, yeah, you got to say wow, but what? I mean, how on earth is this team 16-2?
Well, I mean, Brad's a major, major reason, but for being your defensive anchor and being a guy is definitely on that short list for defensive player of the year honors here. Kyrie and the clutch are historic in terms of just getting the job done when it matters most. We already knew that was a major part of his repertoire, but what he's been doing so far in Boston is incredible. But, you know, all the way down the line, there are surprise subplots. Jason Tatum as a rookie making the kind of impact that he's making. Jaylen Brown taking another step forward. I mean, his performance against the Warriors, obviously, you know, now we know what he was kind of inspired by. His friend had taken his own life, and he had a lot on his mind and a heavy heart. But they've got a really good group, and the defense, as the thing they can always fall back on is huge. I mean, they're going to have a hard time staying at this kind of a dominant defensive level because they're not only the top defensive team in the NBA. I mean, it's not even close when it comes to the gap between one and two. But that is going to be part of their identity. And the only question, I think, going forward is just can they be good enough offensively? They're a middle-of-the-road offensive team, and that's the only, I think, perceived weakness from opposing teams. But, you know, special stuff, and right now certainly out front in the East.
Final thought, at what point do you start getting concerned if you're a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder?
We shall see. I talked to those guys recently and really enjoyed getting their big picture perspective. And that was Carmelo, Paul George, and Billy Donovan picking their brains about how they see this situation. And even and I caught them as they rolled through Sacramento about 10 days ago. And their feeling at the time, and I guarantee you it remains, is that they're taking the long view here. You know, Melo talked about how 20 games to him was about the time that some of these habits needed to start to kick in and to have more of an identity as a group. But some of the stuff that they underscored that I think we gloss over is that they added Carmelo Anthony, one of the most talented scorers in the history of the game, a day before media day, heading into training camp. Billy Donovan had already created his playbook to include Paul George. Now he had to find a spot for Melo. And Russell Westbrook, coming off a year where he was amazing, but he had that ball in his hands more than anybody in the history of the NBA. So a major adjustment, and I don't think they're panicking, but I guarantee they're not happy. It's not going great. This is a big game at home tonight. I'd be shocked if they pull it off and win with the way the Warriors have been playing. But, you know, I think I'm with Melo. We'll see 20, 30, 40 games in how they look.
Sam, happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate you coming on the show.
You got it, Grant. Thank you. Same to you.
All right. And again, you know, I had a chance, as Sam said, it was about 10 days ago when the Thunder rolled into Sacramento. And you know what? They just they look like a really nice jigsaw puzzle on your table. And you're like, wow, man, some of these pieces just look beautiful and they don't fit. And I'm not saying that they won't fit, but right now they don't fit. And it's I think it's going to take half the season. After watching them play in person, they just do not look anywhere near in sync. Sam was talking about the game tonight with Golden State. I guess if they do put it together, then at that point, we might just go, wow. I mean, seriously, if you think about that team, and we don't even mention Steven Adams, who's a big part of what they do, but if the big three there can get in sync and play together, I don't know if it's good enough to beat the Warriors, but that could be a real interesting team in March and April. But there's a long way to go before they get to that point. A long way to go. All right, clones, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 800-636-8686. So get on deck now, 800-636-8686. Bottom of the hour right now, though, we have our latest sports update here.
Live from Sacramento, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show, and hey, I might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's get to some phone calls, 800-636-8686. Let's get to Derek in Arkansas. Hello, Derek. Derek, what's on? You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say concerning Mr. Ball and the incident in China with his son, I would have hoped that he would have said, look, he's my son. I love him. He made a mistake. And as a father, I need to have that father-son conversation with him, regardless of who my son is or what level of accomplishment or achievement that they make in life. He still is my son, and I need to have that conversation with him. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, let's get to Matt in L.A. Matt, you're on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead.
Napes, my man, you're doing a great job as usual. Memo to Latrine Ball and the Big Buffoon Brand. don't bite the hand that feeds you first. You idiot. Yet spewing fountain of misinformation that's your toilet hole mouth got your son into the NBA. You did good on that. Now you've been backpedaling like you were playing a DB in the NFL, first from Jell-O testicles antics out in China, and now from trying to talk smack to, it's sacrilegious. He knows this. In L.A., you don't talk smack on the Bus family, on Magic Johnson. And, hey, man, they did you a favor. They have put your son on a pedestal. They have deflected everything for him. So it's time for you, Latrine Ball, to shut your damn toilet hole. Grant, that's all I got. War Romy taking a lot of vacation because he deserves a lot of vacation. Out.
Romy does deserve a lot of vacation, man, especially this time of the year, going back and forth to New York and everything else. Yeah, he does deserve vacation. Now, you and I agree on that. Let's get to Josh in Detroit. Josh, welcome to the Jim Rome Show. What's happening?
Hey, Grant, I had to get back in here, man, because you got some hockey representation coming on, the Golden Knights. Hey, man, I like that there was an NHL expansion team that came in this year, but why Vegas? Why couldn't it have been Quebec, Houston, or Seattle? It would have been a better location than Vegas.
Have you seen Vegas play, dude? Hey, have you seen a game in Vegas? The place is off the hook. They're sold out every night. It's going crazy. Oh, yeah, and by the way, they've got the second best record in the Pacific Division. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, they're 12-6. But, you know, Quebec City, Houston, or Seattle would have been more favorable, Grant.
Well, then go buy a team and move them to Quebec or Seattle. And first of all, Seattle will get a team. Like, you're gonna say that Vegas isn't going to work? Again, go spend an hour the next time Vegas is on TV and watch the atmosphere at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. It's unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, but I got a bone to pick with the Golden Knights. Whoever's running their Twitter account said that they were undefeated at Joe Louis Arena. What? You never even played at Joe Louis Arena. Who's running their Twitter account? Cal in Vegas?
It's a joke, Josh. It was a joke. If you follow the Vegas Golden Knights on Twitter, they're very sarcastic in the majority of their tweets. It was a joke. It was a joke. Loosen up. Hey, you know what? I'm glad you had the Red Wings in your beautiful new Little Caesars Arena, which is beautiful. I was there last week. It's awesome. All right. But you know what? If you're going to sit there and bash on the Golden Knights, they're an expansion team, okay? And they already have 12 wins and they've used 5 goalies. You don't think that's remarkable? Come on now. I mean, it's a pretty amazing deal. All right. 800-636-8686. And I would say this, if you follow the NHL and you follow a lot of the teams on Twitter, Vegas has got a different way of going about their Twitter. It's very cutting edge. Let's just put it to you that way. All right. They are out there and they've actually gotten, you know, reprimanded a little bit from some other teams for maybe going a little bit overboard, but they're entertaining. I follow them on Twitter just because I want to see what they're going to say next. They're very clever, let's put it that way. And I have not been to a game in Vegas yet. As a matter of fact, I'm planning on going to some games during the NBA All-Star break in February. But I've watched 2 or 3 of their games from Vegas, and it is an incredible atmosphere. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have their general manager on, George McPhee, in hour number 3. To talk about how on earth did he put together such a good team, and Gerard Gallant doing a heck of a job coaching that team. I saw them in person in Boston 2 weeks ago, and they lost a 1-goal game, but they're disciplined. They play. They're not out of position. At that particular point, they were using their 4th-string goalie, and you know what? They're a good team. They really are. They're not a fluke. I'm not saying they're winning the cup. Don't get me wrong here. But they're a good team. And for an expansion team, again, their last game, they beat the LA Kings 4-2, the teams ahead of them in the division. And they it's not a fluke. They've got some really big-time wins against really good teams. You know, they beat Chicago in Vegas. You know, they beat the Bruins in Vegas. They're good. They've got a good team. They have a very good team. And had it not been for the injuries to their top 2 goalies, and one being Marc-Andre Fleury, they probably would have 2 or 3 more wins, which is just absolutely remarkable. So we'll talk hockey in hour number 3. You know, I make my living in the NBA and doing talk radio in Sacramento, but I'm a huge hockey fan, and I watch hockey almost every night. I love hockey, and whenever I'm on the road in the NBA and we have an off night, if there's a game, I'm going to the hockey game, just like I did 2 weeks ago in Boston. I had an off night, went to the game, and I'm always trying to go to the hockey games. I think the NHL is a great product, and the thing I love about the NHL, and you can't say this, and I make my living in the NBA, but you can't say this in the NBA. You know, going into the NBA playoffs, when you have 16 teams, there are what? Let's be fair here. Two teams, maybe three, right? When the NBA playoffs start, that you could say they could win a championship or would be in the NBA finals, right? Am I maybe three teams, correct? In the Stanley Cup playoffs, all 16 teams, you could make an argument, can win and be in the Stanley Cup finals. Matter of fact, that happens every year. You get a hot goaltender, you get on a roll. The difference in hockey between the top seed, look at Washington, look at the Caps. Caps, how many times have they won the President's Trophy? They can't beat Pittsburgh. They can't get out of the second round. And yet you see, you know, your wild card teams now. Look at last year, right? Look at what Nashville did. I mean, when the playoffs started, who picked Nashville to go as far as they did? I love that about the NHL. I love the fact that every team, when the playoffs start, has a legitimate chance to win a couple of series and, who knows, end up in the Stanley Cup Finals. And last year was a perfect example of that. Perfect example. You can't say that in the NBA. NFL, yeah, you can say that. I mean, wild card teams go to the Super Bowl often. But in the NBA, I mean, what are people talking about when the season started this year? It's going to be Golden State and Cleveland. Now, I know Boston's playing well, and I get that. But I think when Isaiah Thomas gets on the floor for the Cavaliers, he's going to make a big difference. He's a heck of a player. He's going to make a big difference. But let's just say, and you have to now, let's just say you include Boston in that conversation. How many teams right now, barring injury now, I'm not talking about if Steph Curry gets hurt, but barring injury, how many teams right now in the NBA do you think can make it to the NBA Finals? How about three? Anyone picking the Rockets to win a series against the Warriors? I'm not. Anyone picking the Spurs to win a series against the Warriors? I'm not. Anybody else in the West you picking to beat the Golden State Warriors in a series? Because I'm not. In the East, all right, I have to include Boston. I don't think they will be. And I like the job that Dwayne Casey does in Toronto, but they're not beating the Cavaliers if they're healthy when spring rolls around. So you've got three teams, right? Boston, Cleveland, no disrespect to our fine fans in Houston. But I'm not picking the Rockets to beat the Golden State Warriors. And listen, I like the way the Rockets are assembled, but I don't think that style is going to beat the Warriors in the playoffs. To beat them four games, I don't see it happening. In the NHL, different story. When the playoffs start, all the teams, you could make a legitimate argument, they get a hot goalie, and they're on their way. All right, if you want to call the show, it's very easy to do so, 800-636-8686. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk some NFL football, and we got a lot to talk about. All right, so you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills, right? And Tyrod Taylor is once again your starting quarterback. He is going to be starting this week in Kansas City against the Chiefs, who are really struggling. So the coach of the Bills, Sean McDermott, was asked today about why are you going back to Tyrod Taylor? And he said, hey, it's the right thing for our team. Quote, he said, it's because I do. When you go through the situation and where we are and where we're going, I feel like it's the right situation for our team. Just like a week ago, I felt like the right thing for our team was to start Nate. I feel like the right thing for this team is to start Tyrod. Well, first of all, based on the way Perryman played, there's no way you could start him this week at Kansas City. Is there anybody in Buffalo that thinks that you could have gone back to Nate Peterman this week? Did you see Peterman's performance? You think Nate Peterman is going to get a start in Kansas City? You had to go back to Tyrod Taylor. I mean, yeah, I almost felt bad for Peterman. You almost felt bad for the guy. And if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills and you're looking at the way your team started, and you look at the way the team is now, and I guess if you're in Kansas City and you're a fan of the Chiefs, you could be asking what has happened to the Chiefs. defensively, they can't stop anybody. They can't stop the run. And here's the deal with the Chiefs. Yeah, they're in first place, but they're not a solid first place team right now. I'm not saying the Raiders are going to make a move because I don't think they're good enough defensively. If the Chargers, if they go in and beat Dallas, then I'm going to start talking about this team that would be 5-6 if it happens. They're right there. I don't think the Raiders are good enough on defense. And I know that they just fired Ken Norton Jr. And do you think that just because John Pagano is now going to be the defensive coordinator, they're just all of a sudden going to start coming up with interceptions and turnovers? Do you know that they have no interceptions through 10 games? Like, think about that for a minute. The defense of the Oakland Raiders has not intercepted a pass. They're 4-6. They have home losses to Baltimore. They have home losses to bad teams. And when you look at the Raiders, what's impressive about their 4-6? Nothing. Nothing. They won week one at Tennessee. They come home in week two and beat the Jets. There's nothing impressive about their wins other than maybe a Thursday night game against Kansas City where they scored on the last play of the game three times because of penalties, right? And that's a Thursday night, short week. And again, say what you want about Thursday night football. It's a big disadvantage for the road team most of the time, especially when you're going that distance and you go in two time zones. The Raiders had to play in Kansas City last year on a Thursday, and they lost. It's terrible scheduling. But the Raiders are 4-6. Anybody listening right now think the Raiders are going to make the playoffs with that defense? They can't get off the field. They can't get off the field on third down. And, oh, yeah, by the way, what's going on with their offense? It's not like Derek Carr and the Raider offense is going up and down the field. I said before the season started, I thought they were an overrated team. People were talking about Raiders and Super Bowl in the same sentence. I don't see it. Their offensive line's not as good as people think. They're not able to run the ball. They have too many drops. Carr is not playing nearly as well as he did last year before he was injured. But defensively, awful. And again, I'm not picking the Chargers to all of a sudden like jump up and take over the Chiefs. All I'm saying is if they're able to win tomorrow, if they go to 5-6, again, their losses, with the exception of one game, they've been pretty good losses. They're in games. Same thing as last year with this team. I don't get them. But what's going on with the Chiefs? The Chiefs get off to that good start, right? And that's why I want to talk to Steve Weish about how he sees right now the Kansas City Chiefs. Because they got the Bills this week. They should win that game, right? If you're a Chiefs fan. Then they go to the Jets. They should win that game. They have the Raiders at home. And then they have the Chargers at home, the Dolphins at home, and then they're at the Broncos. All right, let's get to Alberta, Canada with Cade. Cade, you're on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead.
Hey, I just had a couple quick points about Lonzo Ball. First of all, I coach a high school basketball team in Canada here, and if I had to deal with a parent like his dad as a high school kid, it would have made me crazy.
Well, and we're up against the break. I think he's making the Lakers crazy, and I think his recent comment is a big-time no-no. Big-time no-no. Can't do that. But it's not going to stop. This guy is not going to stop. Hey, second hour NFL talk with Steve Weisher and your phone calls when we come back, 800-636-8686. Grant Napier in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.